our website. It's because we are not having church for the next couple of weeks because of the coronavirus, and the governor has said he does not want any more than 10 people to gather at any one time. And so for that reason, we have closed the church, and we will be presenting our messages on our webpage. Tonight is Revelation 19, verses 1 through 14, beginning at verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. We saw the great whore disposed of in chapter 18. The great voice in heaven is the church responding in agreement with God. The language is celebratory. Finally, the great whore has been judged and condemned, not by man, but by Jesus Christ. The vengeance that was sought by the souls under the altar in chapter 6 is finally taken by God. Revelation 6, 9 and 10 says, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, O holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And now in chapter 18, he has avenged. Revelation 19, 3, And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's the smoke of the great whore. The celebration will not be short, just as the persecution was not short. Think about what the Catholic Church did in history. There was the Spanish Inquisition and many other atrocities committed in the name of God by the apostate Catholic Church throughout the history of the Church. Revelation 19, 4 and 5. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Sometimes some people ask, I wonder what we'll be doing in heaven. Well, here's your answer. We'll be praising God. Is there anyone else to praise? The leaders of the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles and the 4 beasts flying above the throne spend their time praising God for all of the wonderful and just things that he does in heaven and on the earth. Actually, God's people have been praising God since they were a people of God. Example, 1 Chronicles 16:36. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said amen and praised the Lord. Another example, 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This verse is in response to all of the praising that the people of God were doing. Remember that the great whore sat upon many waters, which represented peoples. Well, here we have many of God's peoples praising him for what he did to the whore or the apostate church. I think that I would like to hear more hallelujahs from the people, the Lord's people on earth, as a means of practicing for when we get to heaven. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is the event that we have been waiting for, the marriage of the Lamb. There have been references to the event, but this is where it will take place, as referenced in Revelation chapter 21. Let me share some of the verses that refer to it. The first would be Matthew 22:2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The king would be God, the son would be the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 25:6-10, we read, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's a very sad, sad sentence. Those who were not ready were closed out. And I would just pray tonight that everyone in the sound of my voice is ready to meet the Lord when he comes, to meet the bridegroom, to be the bride adorned and prepared. Finally, Paul, writing in his second letter to the Corinthian church, said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Writing to the Corinthian church, a church with many problems, but one that Paul loved and ministered to during his lifetime. In this passage, we see the bride complete and ready. Beside the heavenly bride, the transfigured, translated, and then risen church, reigning over the earth with Christ, is also the earthly bride. There is the earthly bride, Israel, in the flesh, never yet divorced, though for a time separated from her divine husband, who shall then be reunited to the Lord and be the mother church of the millennial earth. In other words, during the millennial reign of Christ, the Christianized church and those who are believing Israelites will be combined to become the bride of Christ, comprising the Christian church and the faithful people of Israel. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This verse could be misunderstood unless we realize that the righteousness is not that of the bride, but the righteousness of the groom. It is the righteousness of Jesus imputed to us who have believed on him. The initial command concerning righteousness came from Jesus during his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That brings us to Revelation 19:9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. We must remember that John had an escort as he gazed upon the events that were taking place in heaven. One of the angels of the Lord, and it was this person that was talking to John. I would have you look at one other word in the statement made by the angel, the little word unto. Those souls that were called were not called unto, but into the marriage supper of the Lamb. They were not to be there as spectators, they were to be there as participants, and we all are, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We become a part of the bride, just as Jesus becomes a part of us in the communion supper. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, see, John's response to what he had been shown was one of gratitude, but gratitude can lead a person into idolatry, unintended. John intended no sin, but in attempting to worship an angel, he was violating one of Paul's admonitions not to do such a thing. The command from Paul is implied in Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We all have the same Spirit to direct us. The Spirit that directs angels is the same Spirit that directs us, God's Holy Spirit. He teaches us to worship God only. This would be a good place to stop, but you've come to hear about Jesus, and so we'll go a little further in the Word tonight. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Once again, we must remember that John was already in heaven, and what he sees is heaven opened to the earth. Now, I understand that they are now building houses, that it is possible for the owner to open up an entire wall to the outside just by sliding the wall back in sections, making the inside part of the outside. And that's sort of what I see happening here. Heaven is open for all the world to see, and what they see strikes terror into their wicked hearts. For Jesus is the truth, and for most, this is the first glimpse that they have of Jesus. They do not know what is coming. There is only one person that can be called faithful and true. There is only one person who will judge the world and sin and evil and make war against them, and that one person is Jesus. So when John describes a person sitting on the white horse, that is all that he sees at the moment, and that is all that the world sees also. My heart is thrilled by these next two verses, for they bring to my mind a glorious vision of my Savior as I long to see him. Revelation 19:12-13. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In these two verses, we see Jesus as he has never been seen before. Oh, Peter, James, and John saw him glorified on the mount. But that was not a time when Jesus was prepared to do battle, but a time when he was to be a sacrifice, the lamb that was slain. Here Jesus is coming to conquer evil and vanquish righteousness. Fire is a purifying medium. It burns out the dross and produces pure, precious metal. It's used to refine gold and silver. So the first thing that John notices is that Jesus' eyes are as a flame of fire. What he looks upon, he purifies. How does sin get purified? It gets destroyed. Jesus is coming to destroy all sin. Jesus wears many crowns because he is not just worthy, but he has earned them. Jesus is a name that is known all over the world by his people, but there are many people that don't know the name of Jesus. There is a name that we don't know yet, but one day very soon we shall know him by that name also when he has overcome the wicked one. Now, verse 13 is especially dear to me in that it reminds me of the price paid and also the glory earned and the love that God had for the people of the creation. in providing a written copy of his love letter to us. First of all, the clothing of Jesus upon that white horse is dipped in blood to remind everyone, sinner and saint alike, that a price was paid and it was either accepted or rejected, which establishes the place of dwelling for all eternity. In my mind's eye, the contrast between the white horse and the red robe is attention-getting. It's easy to understand why John would open his gospel with the word that he does. They seem so sweet to the palate. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Here in heaven, the name that Jesus is known by is so profound, the Word of God. That tells it all. That tells us just who Jesus is. And then Revelation 19:14, and we will stop with this one. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Do you have any idea of the makeup of the armies that followed him? It's us. We will comprise the armies that follow him. We will see in a few more verses that we are not following him to fight, but to watch as he does all the fighting and conquering. Picture in your minds what John was beholding, an army on horseback, following a leader dressed in a robe dipped in his own blood. The horses and the rest of the army, all white. The only color is that of the blood of the leader of that army. And we'll stop here for tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this time to meet together here, even though we're not meeting together in person, but we're meeting together in your Holy Spirit. Father, may he touch each heart. May we all experience the excitement of the thought of when Jesus comes back to this earth to destroy all wickedness and evil. Father, we do pray as Paul prayed, come quickly, Lord Jesus. May we see him in the sky, in the clouds, waiting to receive his church. And Father, may we be faithful until that time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.